In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we touch on a typical Lenten theme of repentance, but we do it with a passage rarely read and even less often understood. The people's question to Jesus is familiar. They're asking about people who have died in some tragedy, and if it was their fault, if they had suffered because of something they had done. They ask about some people Pilate had killed while they were offering sacrifices in the temple, and others who had the misfortune of being in the wrong place at the wrong time as a tower collapsed. Who is to blame? Did they bear some culpability in their own deaths? Did this happen to them because they were not righteous enough? We face similar questions today. What about those people who died in that plane crash? Whose fault was that? Or those caught in that natural disaster? Was that God's judgment? Or even those who were killed in that church while they were praying? Were they simply not praying hard enough, or to the right God, or in the right way? We want to make sense of it, to see some semblance of fairness, of reward and punishment. In Jesus' day, there was no question about fairness. The assumption was that disease, suffering, and death bore a direct correlation with human sinfulness. The greater the sin, the more likely the misfortune. And to some degree, like it or not, it seems we still have that idea buried in our own subconscious. Calamity strikes and we wonder what we did wrong, says the Episcopal preacher Barbara Brown Taylor. We scrutinize our behavior, our relationships, our diets, our belief, anything that can offer a clue. We hunt for some cause to explain the effect in hopes that we can change what we are doing and so stop whatever has gone or is going wrong. What this tells us, she goes on to say, is that we are less interested in truth than consequences. What we crave above all is control over the chaos of our lives. It was no different in Jesus' time. People longed to understand and to control misfortune. So the crowds asked Jesus about the Galileans slain by Pilate, and they wondered about those who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell. What had those people done to deserve their fate? Might those tragedies have been prevented by holy living? And in response, Jesus tells them to repent. Not because they had done something wrong, but because they had thought something wrong. Repent from this way of thinking, or someone is going to ask the same questions of you when misfortune strikes your house. The word translated repent here does not carry with it any sense of remorse or guilt. It really means to change your mind, to alter the way you see, you think things work, how you judge the world. Jesus is telling them to change the way they think about God's nature, about sin and judgment, about their ability to condemn, and their willingness to work towards God's plan for redemption. Their question doesn't make sense because they fundamentally misjudged how God works. To explain, Jesus tells them a parable about a barren fig tree, a man, and a gardener. In the parable, God is not the presumed owner of the fig tree who wants to cut it down. God is not the one who judges, not the one who lacks patience. We're accustomed to thinking that because we think of God as the one in charge, and that means the one giving orders. But remember, Jesus is here to turn their understanding of God and the way they believe the world works on its head. His teachings have been about upending their misguided notions about the law and justice. Jesus here is the gardener. Think about the parables. Jesus is always the gardener, the tender of vines, the reaper of the harvest. Remember the resurrected Jesus encountering Mary Magdalene outside the tomb? She thinks he's the gardener because he is. And in this parable, in the kingdom of God, he is the one pleading for more time to see fruit, the one willing to do more work to make the plant grow and produce, the one nurturing life into the barrenness. I know what some of you are thinking. I can almost hear the objection. We know Jesus is the gardener, but he's pleading with God who wants to cut down the tree. And the Orthodox part of me just needs to remind you, Jesus is God. This is not an internal divine debate. It's not God who wants to cut down fruitless trees, write off the wayward son, cast away the guy who's fallen off the wagon one too many times. It's us. We're the ones who lose patience, even though the gardener does all the work. We're the ones who say, cut it down, tear it up, it's not worth it. As though we can give orders to Jesus. And the gardener is God saying, we're not giving up on this one yet. I came into the world to save things, not destroy them. And this one just needs more work and more time. The kingdom of God is like this. When the world has lost patience and wants to cut you off, when your masters have had enough and want to throw you away, when no one believes you are yet worth saving because you just haven't produced anything, the great Redeemer steps in and says, let's give her one more chance. And let's do all the things we need to make sure that she has the opportunity to thrive this time. This is a lesson about Lenten repentance. But it's not the tree that needs to repent. It's the one who wanted to give up on it. The tree needs to produce fruit because that's what it was created to do. That's God's will for it. But first, we have to make sure that it's been given every chance, every nourishment, every ounce of effort that can be put into it for the possibility of its thriving. Why? Because in the kingdom of God, the impulse is to save, to redeem, to produce life. That's why God came into the world. If the point of Christianity were simply to cut down the tree that doesn't produce, God wouldn't have wasted the time and energy of showing up as Jesus, because that was already our impulse. We didn't need a parable to tell us that, because we live in that world all the time. We needed Jesus to remind us to repent and set in again to foster life. It's easy to cut things off when they disappoint us, to blame people when something bad befalls them, to turn our back and walk away. It's natural to think that someone is just a lazy good-for-nothing when they don't produce much, to believe that most people deserve about what they get in life, or to shake our heads in judgment at people who can't seem to break the pattern of falling short. It's all too common to assume that the person who toils away in poverty simply made repeated wrong choices, or to condemn the parent who to us just can't seem to raise their kid right, or to blame the victim for their own pain. It's natural and normal and how we think the world works. It's just not worthy of the gospel. It's not how the kingdom of God works. It's not why Jesus came into the world. And he's calling us to repent, to change our way of thinking, to see the world through the eyes of the gardener, nurturing life, seeing potential, trying to foster fruit in others. This whole transaction starts with these people in the crowd bringing up this current event. Pilate killing some people while they were offering sacrifices. And they're wanting Jesus to comment on if Pilate is just a terrible person or did these people partly deserve it. And Jesus is instead asking them, what are you doing to foster life? He's changing the conversation by trying to alter how they see the world. They look at death and emptiness and destruction, and they want God to pass judgment or think God already has. But Jesus wants them to do the work to produce life in the place of death and fruit in the place of barrenness. He wants them to change the way they see the world so that they can join in the work he's doing. And he still wants us to do the same. Stop looking for blame. Stop issuing fault. Stop condemning fruitlessness. And instead, get busy with the time you have to create fertile ground for new life to issue forth and new fruit to come to bear. Repentance looks like seeing barrenness as the place that needs most of our work and training ourselves to look with hope on the things that simply haven't borne fruit yet. It's not easy work, but it is Lenten work. It's the work we do in the desert time, in full faith that Easter is coming into the world, and with it, new life and new fruit. Let us repent and get to that work. Amen.